Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm just listening for a moment. Because he's here right now. Amen. Is it just me or you know he's here? Amen. Amen. It's a familiar presence, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? Jesus is the same in Tulsa as he is in Canada. Here in St. Thomas. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't change, did he? Amen. How many are thankful we don't have to go somewhere else? He moved in. Right here. Amen. He moved right in. Hallelujah. How many are thankful you've been born again? Hallelujah. I'm not going to apologize for one tear. I refuse. He's been having me in tears a lot lately. I love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. I'm just going to sit this here. Hallelujah. He's worthy. You want Jesus, right? We want God, right? You didn't come to hear me, did you? Well, kind of. You know? Your name's out on the billboard, you know. But hopefully we can do him justice tonight. We will, amen. Amen. Thank you, dear. Would you stand up for a minute? This is my wife, Lisa. She came with me tonight. Did you want to say something? Okay. Please sit down. But she's here. I know some of you ladies are getting after me. I'm going to say it again tonight. Don't come back without her. So I didn't. But I did come back in the same year, just to let you know. Now, it was close. Hallelujah. The Lord let us come back. And we're grateful and thank you for inviting me back. We're thankful and we're humbled and we're honored to be here with you guys. You know, he thinks you're the greatest. I said, God thinks you're the greatest. Not me, you. I had a experience with God a few years ago. Well, it's been, I think about, well, right about 9 years ago, 9 to 10 years ago now. But I was praying and I may have shared this before, I don't know. Here, but I was praying and God wanted to talk to me. I could tell. I wasn't sure if I wanted to hear it. Anybody ever been there? God, I mean, not that I was really, I don't know why, you know. Sometimes we're just, I don't know if I was afraid that he was going to tell me I'm horrible or what, but you know, but he doesn't. He doesn't condemn us. You know, the Holy Spirit never condemns us. The Bible said it's our own heart that condemns us. But when our heart does not condemn us, amen, then we have confidence before God, amen. But I was praying and I'm seeking God this day and I could tell he wants to say something. I thought, Lord, I know you want to tell me something. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but you get into a place of prayer, maybe worship a little bit. I get there and then it's kind of like I'm going toward the Lord and then I just kind of pulled myself out. Wait a minute, you know, hold on, you know, and maybe I wouldn't get me a drink. You know, it's kind of like I pulled myself away a little bit and I went back there, you know, oh yes, Lord, I know, oh, wait a minute, you know, I don't know if I want to do this or not. It was sort of like that. I mean, not exactly, but I did want to hear him, but I wasn't sure if I did. So I decided I'm going to hear him. I had to make a decision. You better have to make a decision to go after God. Amen. How many know that he respects you? He does not violate your will. He doesn't force you. He's not going to make you. He's going to force you to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't force you to get saved. He didn't grab you and say, get up to the altar right now. You know, I mean, it may have felt that way in your heart. You know, he was drawing you because of his drawing, but he doesn't make anybody do anything. You know, and that's why we shouldn't really. You know, I mean, we could get people saved. Me and Tony would probably go down. And I said, Tony, now hold him down. No, dude, he's not letting you go till you get born again. Now, come on. Let's confess Jesus. You know? How many know God's not looking for forced confession? Because he's looking for a family. People that want to be born. See, the only way into the family of God is to be born into the family. You must be, what, born again, right? We talked about last night a little bit about the reborn spirit, you know, and how there are some pitfalls sometimes that we fall into. We get a little bit more into the flesh or into the natural side of things, our own thinking, our own desire to do something. But this particular time, the reason I'm not saying this is because I said to you, you're the greatest. And God thinks you're the greatest. And so I went into this prayer time and I had, I just kept praying and God brought a memory back to me. I didn't remember it on my own. It was supernatural. Anybody ever had that happen to you? You know, you just supernaturally remembered a particular time in your life. And so I was in this, I call it a memory. It could have been an inner vision. You know, it was kind of like I could see it. But it was happening. I was in it. You know, it's happening to me. I thought, wow, you know. But I'm not saying it's like I'm watching TV or something. It's more, came more as like I'm remembering it and I'm seeing it in my mind's eye and I'm doing that. And in this particular time, I remembered and I saw myself. I'm standing at the back porch of the house that we were living in. And my mother was standing there. And here I am, a whopping 10 years old. I don't know how I knew I was 10, but I just knew. Things in the spirit, you know. Amen. I couldn't really explain it with words right away after this happened. But so I'm having this memory, and I'm at the back porch, and I said to my mother, something had happened. I don't know what happened. I didn't remember that part, but something that I didn't know how to respond to emotionally happened. And I said to my mother, I'm going to kill myself then. That's what I'll do. I just said to her, I remember telling her, I'm going to kill myself. I walked off. And even in this vision or in this scenario that was happening, this memory that was taking place, I knew I wasn't serious. You know, I mean, I'm 10 years old, but on the inside, what I felt is like, this is the end. I don't know if I can take any more. I don't know how, I didn't know how to handle that situation. I'm trying to run away. I'm trying to hide. I'm trying to maybe cover it up and I didn't know what to do. And my mother, you know, I mean, she could tell me, you know, what you gonna do, you know? Okay, you know, let him go. I don't think he's serious, you know. He's 10 years old. Not today. There's, you know, and sometimes those thoughts happen. And we kind of laugh because, you know, you're thinking, I'm only 10 years old. But the feelings of loss and the feeling of emptiness and the feeling like life is over and it's ended was all there. It was so real. And then I took off. I started walking down the driveway. There I went. And we had this old dump truck parked back there in the back. My dad had his own business, so there was a truck back there. And I climbed up in that truck, folded my hands, and I'm just crying. Oh, you know, I didn't know what to do. You know, I've just heard. I didn't know how to respond. I didn't know what to do. I said I was going to kill myself, but it wasn't like obviously I didn't. Thank you, Lord. But you know, the feelings of loss and hopelessness was there. Like the worst feeling I've ever felt in my life. My big long life of 10 years, but still it was just so real. I'm sitting in that truck and all of a sudden the door opens and there's Jesus standing there. And he puts his hand up and I climb down out of the truck and he puts his arm around me like a father would. And he starts walking me back to the house. We're walking down that driveway, and it was just like he was saying, it's going to be all right, son. It's okay, you know, like a father would. You know, he wasn't really saying anything, but we're just walking. And we got maybe halfway back or so, and he stops, and he looks me in the eye. And at this time, which, remember, I felt like everything's gone. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. I'm empty. And he looked at me, and he said, son, I think you're the best. When I felt the worst, when it seemed like I lost everything, when there was no hope, he said to me, I think you're the best. He didn't say, I think you're good, because somebody could be better. He said, I think you're the best. And to me, I can't explain the rush. It was a freedom and a form of a deliverance. You know, I wouldn't say it was an evil spirit, but it was more of a rush of the presence of God and a release from my spirit that just encompassed my soul and encompassed me and set me free in a way that I hadn't been free before. And he said, well, what was that all about? So I'm asking the Lord, and I believe it was about my words. I didn't kill myself physically, but something on the inside of me emotionally died. And I was holding, you know, and God had to set me free and bring some things back to life that I had lost. I hadn't even realized it. But how many know the Holy Spirit knows how to take you to those places that even you don't remember where the enemy tried to trip you up and take your life. See, he was trying when I was a little boy. He's trying to stop me then. He saw something in you then. See? He saw something in your life. And sometimes we face things. People face the loss of a business. I watched my dad lose his business. I think I cried, maybe, you know, I didn't tell him, but sometimes I'd cry myself to sleep about it. It's very painful. A dream that you lost. It's not going to happen. It's over. It's finished. You know, I'm not saying he felt hopeless or, you know, we were totally devastated, but it was a very difficult thing. I'm sure it was difficult for him. You know, I was 16 years old and I'm trying to help him. We had to sell everything, move away. You know, and sometimes we lose things in life, and sometimes there's traumatic things that happen, but the Holy Spirit is the healer. He is the restorer. You know, it doesn't matter what happens to us in life. When we're at our worst, when we feel like maybe we failed God, maybe we've done something terribly wrong, but when we come to Him, He looks at us and He says, I think you're the best. And He lifts us up and He takes us from a place of brokenness to a place where we abound in glorious presence, a freedom that you hadn't experienced before. I remember the freedom that I experienced when years before that, when He set me free from a fear that I had. And I'm talking about this tonight because I believe He wants me to talk about my friend, the Holy Spirit, tonight. And some of His workings and how He begins to pray through us. And as we fellowship with the Father, how He wants to bring us to a place of wholeness, of completeness in Him. In our mind, in our emotions, in our desires. You know, to where we are, a lot of times we love Him. We care, we want Him, but there's things that are on the inside of us that are still holding us back that we don't even realize were there or was a problem. I had no idea. You know, I'm not saying it was, you know, you said, well, was it hindering you? Apparently. Or the God wouldn't have brought it up to me. See? He knew it. I didn't know it. If I had known it was going to be so glorious, I wouldn't have been so hesitant, you know. And that's what I'm telling you. Don't be so hesitant. like I was. Don't do like I did, you know. Go in there and wait, but just press in there. You know, I did finally get in there, so that's important. Amen. And sometimes we do have to press. Amen. It's not works, but sometimes it's a little bit of work to enter into what God has for us. Sometimes our mind is going crazy. Amen. You ever worship? Every thought, oh, Lord, I cast that down. Okay, I do love you, Lord. I worship. I cast that down. I said, stop, you know. And, you know, finally you get your paper out, write that down, you know. Or the devil gives you your to-do list, right? No, it's really not him. It's just your mind. Because when we get quiet, that's what our mind does. It starts thinking and it's trying to remind you of everything. And so you remember everything. So you get it down and say, oh, thank you for my to-do list. You know, just set it aside. Your mind will say, okay. You get back in there and worship. Or get back in there and pray in the Spirit. You know, I mean, the beauty about praying in the Spirit, sometimes you can do other things, you know. You can pray in your job. You can pray on your way to work. You can pray in the shower. You can pray while you're getting ready for work. Amen. But God is for you, is what I want you to see tonight. He's not against those things. And just because you have some areas in your life like that, doesn't mean he's throwing you out. Amen. Just because maybe you've experienced a terrible thing, or it seems like there's no hope, there is hope in him, right? But he took the Holy Spirit to help me. I didn't know that in my own mind. I promise you, I couldn't even remember it. I wouldn't have remembered it. I didn't ever thought about it before. Never. Not one time ever. And he brought it back to my memory and helped me to see in my mind's eye what I had been through. I thought, wow, what a God we serve. See, he didn't save us just to be born again and to make heaven. It's much more than that. He wants a fellowship with us. He wanted a family. He wanted to know who you are. And sometimes we love Jesus, but do we love his ways? Do we really like Jesus? You see what I'm saying? Do we like the way he's doing something? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes our flesh doesn't. But in our heart, we do. We want to change, amen? When we listen to that nature that we talked about the other night, that's on the inside of us. Or last night. It wasn't the other night. It was last night. Or, yeah, last night. Sorry, my mind's... Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit becomes our friend. Jesus said, I don't just call you, you know, he calls us our friend, his friend. Jesus said, I want you to be my friend. So, what is the Holy Spirit? He's the comforter, right? He's the comforter, the helper, the one that stands by us no matter what, right? That stand by, we call it. It's in the Amplified Bible there. The intercessor, one that prays for us. The advocate, one that's going to go to battle for us, right? He's going to be on our defense, I should say. You know, if there's a court of law and the devil says, you remember when you did that? Amen. He'll help us, right? Jesus' blood says, no, I don't remember. God says, I don't remember. So you just tell the devil, I don't remember, you know. Oh, I remember, but I know who paid the price and I know what's going to happen to you. You're the one that's going to be in trouble. Amen. Because his blood's enough. That blood, he's the one that's the guide, the teacher, the helper. You know, sometimes we don't, you know, you get the guy that's the helper, you know. Well, he's just my helper. Well, being a helper is pretty important. Can make all the difference in the world, amen? You know? And when we, not that we help God, but he helps us, amen? And sometimes he asks us to help other people. How are you going to help them? Prayer, number one, praying for them, right? That's going to help them the most because we're lending God our authority. See, Jesus isn't here. He's not in the earth right now. He's at the right hand of the Father, but he said, all power and authority I gave to you. to us. So I want us to see tonight. Okay. Hallelujah. I want us to turn tonight to a scripture in 1 Corinthians. It's not really what I wrote down for tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to flow though with Him. Amen. So just go with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay, I'm not going to read just yet. I'm just going to talk for a minute. And when we begin to fellowship with God, changes begin to take place. Not just in us, but also in others. Because we are a light, because we are an influence. Amen. So, well, we know all that, so why are you telling us? Because God thinks you're the best. God thinks you're the best. No matter what has hit you, no matter what has come against you, God's still on the throne. Jesus hasn't quit on you. It's not over. It hasn't ended. It's only just begun. Because the glory of God has come. And He began to set you free. And you begin to realize, hey, there's a new me. I'm different inside. I've been changed by the presence and the glory of God. I'm not the same as I used to be. I used to be in fear, but now I'm free. I used to have anxiety, but no more, you see. For the glory of God came on the inside of me, and He set me free. So we can stand and we can say, He alone is worthy. He alone is holy. He alone is the one that makes us who we are. Because I've been born of the Spirit of God above. And now I'm free. Now I can walk in victory. No more sin, no more bondage, no more pain, I say. Because the greater one came and He delivered me and set me free. And now I have no shame. I stand firmly and immovable. Because the living Word of God has come and made His home on the inside of me. He was born of a virgin, came into the earth, and came on the inside of me, and set me, oh, so free. Now I rejoice and I can be glad. And such a victory there is on the inside. I can't be sad, for the greater one moved in, and I begin to shout and dance with glee. For now I am truly, truly, truly free. You see, there was a bondage. It's called sin. And shame and guilt goes with that. And darkness and brokenness and hurt and pain. But when the greater one comes in, takes away that shame. And He sets us free and He gives us a new name. A name that's written down in glory for all eternity for us to be called by Him alone. Such an intimacy. That He desires. He doesn't want us to be alone. So He came and He gave His Son. But then He shed His precious blood. And He said, it is finished and you are free. But it wasn't yet done. He rose from the grave, you see, for all eternity. But He didn't forget you and I. He sent the Holy Spirit to help, to comfort, to guide. So now we stand in Him, fully assured in everything. That we desire and need will come in. On the inside of us, we're changed from inside out. The inside man became brand new. And now it's time to shout. And as you see the changes come here and the changes come there, you'll begin to know the God above has set me free. For He has told me so. Sometimes I don't feel it so great and awesome, but other times I'm also free. In this great relationship that I have between Him and me, I wouldn't change it for anything. I wouldn't say, go away, but no, great Holy Spirit, live bigger on the inside of me. He's so much greater than sometimes we give him credit. And we're so much freer than we really realize. And the freedom that we have, we're also walking into. See, it's a freedom that he purchased and he placed within you. I'm not really trying to rhyme, I promise. I said, I promise. But he's here tonight and he wants to talk to us. He wants to set us oh so free. Complete and total wholeness and victory. Hallelujah. Rakabeshe brakashongo kake. La peke tukunga la munene anaya nokota ya chika tukongle la butsi. Rakate o one nayano lembe ku ka ye bitui. La sakai yumonde no na e oto. Frambendoi hahateo kokoti iti chokotoi. The anointing that destroys the babatiko rabotro no namasheta rabashekitokoi. For I haven't called you just to be alone, but I've called you to be with me. And as you enter in, you'll begin to see that I'll change you just as I have others, and you'll be free. There's hope for you. Yes, you, even you. Even though inside there's a lot of shame. There may be times when you think it's not possible, but you continue to press into me. And you watch and see. I'll come to you and you'll be also free. For some have said in days gone by, I hope this works for me. I'm getting older. I don't know. I mean, maybe I can't be free. But oh, yes, you can. You're in me and I'm in you and we're one, you see. Ha 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 to riketi. For what has been is not what shall be. As you continue to press in fellowship with me. Ha ha. Hallelujah. La rabakochi. Raba kumrangin gondola bahaya somala. Ande la raba katoke telare brikisho rabakaya. I'm not gonna have to make it hard for you. I'm not the one that's trying to make it hard for you so that you'll change your mind. You just make a choice down on the inside. You say, Lord, yes, I'm willing and I'm obedient to walk after you. I'm willing to listen, Lord. I'll hear you. I'll follow you. And in that willingness, you see, there'll be changes that'll take place in me. For you said, Lord, I'm willing. Will you help me? Sure I will. My grace will aid you and make you free. It'll help you to press in. I'll draw you. You'll see. Just keep going one day at a time. And soon you realize I'm free. So don't draw back, but keep pressing in. Keep going forward and know that I fellowship with you from within. That spirit man down on the inside. Not just during your times of prayer, I say, but all day long. Keep your mind on me. And continue to listen and continue to see. Even in the little things of life, I'll begin to change you. I'll begin to show you how to get rid of those things and how to get out of strife. How to get out of the things that have held you back so strong. You say, ha ha ha, you'll see the victory and you'll laugh and you'll say, devil, you couldn't keep me. You couldn't hold me back. You couldn't stop me. Ha, 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 I found the greater one and he's moving on the inside of me. Change is taking place and I'm getting more and more free. But don't stop there. Continue to press in until you reach a place where there's absolutely complete and total freedom. Ha, ha, ta, ra, ba, chum, ve, de. Does that place exist? Some would say, yes, it exists, but only in that secret place with me. Sometimes we want to see things in the natural, you'd say. But this is where I begin my exaltation this day. In the realms of my spirit as you continue to pray. As you continue to enter in, you continue to say, God's doing a work deep down on the inside of me. And he'll complete that work because I believe. And I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue to press in. So if you will continue to press in, if you will continue to move forward, you'll begin to see there's greater grace. There's greater freedom. And you'll begin to say with your mouth and begin to know, my Father has a plan. He told me so. And you begin to hear, and you begin to know, and you begin to rejoice. Hey, God's got a job for me to do. And I found out exactly my place and his plan. Woo! What a day of rejoicing there shall be, for many shall come, for you'll bring them to me. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Great rewards you'll begin to see if you continue to press and trust in me. Amane nohana. Ha ha ha. And together we'll shout the victory. Together, because you're one with me. Hallelujah. 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 What a Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm not anywhere near done with you. Nowhere near. I'm not done with you. Now, if that's you, and there's anybody that sensed that, said, Lord, are you done with me? Is there any more for me? If there's anybody that's been thinking that, don't worry, he's not. It's okay. He's not done. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Shikarian. I'm not done with you. I heard those words again. I'm not finished with you. Anybody had those thoughts lately? I'm not finished with them. You know, maybe God's done with me. Maybe there's nothing else. Anybody had that thought lately? Probably not here, but I just heard that. He's not done with you, okay? He's only just begun. He's not finished. He's moving you forward. He's moving you forward. I said, well, what do you mean? All I'm doing is worshiping God. All I'm doing is I come and pray. All I'm doing is reading my Bible. All I'm doing is this and that. And you know, maybe you're helping a few here and there, and it doesn't look like very much at all. It doesn't look like I'm doing anything. I know he's got a call on my life. What's going on? Come on, God. When's it going to happen? What are you going to do? When you're going to come through? Come on, God. What's the matter with you? Anybody ever felt that way? Oh, you? Is that you? You felt that way too? Oh, boy. You got lots of years left, sister. Don't worry. I mean, unless Jesus comes back. But hey, you know, we're all where we are. Sometimes we get discouraged, don't we? The enemy comes. The lies come. Yeah, but God, I thought you called me. I thought you told me I'm a preacher. I'm a minister. I've got a call on my life. Well, if you don't know yet, keep praying. If you're not confident, keep praying. Because he wants us to be absolutely confident in these end days. Because times are changing and it's going to be really tough. And you better know your Father. You better know your God. You better know Him. Not just about Him, but know Him. See, Moses knew God. He went up on the mountain for 40 days. While he's gone, the people downstairs at the bottom of the mountain, I say downstairs, I'm sure it was more than stairs going up the mountain. Probably a lot of rocks and stuff he had to climb. But anyway, people down at the base of the mountain, they weren't doing so hot, were they? Oh, he probably died. You know, our leader's gone. You know, good old Aaron, who's set in charge, you know, decided, yeah, okay, yeah, go ahead and, you know, that somebody came up with the idea, you know, where they make a golden calf to bow down because God's abandoned us. Oh, God, where are you? You've abandoned me. I've been praying and I don't see anything in the natural. He's working His plan. I'm telling you, we must believe that when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My understanding is unfruitful. It's unproductive. It doesn't look like I'm going to get anything. That's what we've been talking about. But God is working a work on the inside of you and I. He doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't want us to not fulfill it. He's trying to get us to fulfill it. And what I learned in my life is sometimes you may have to pull back a little bit, continue to pray and to continue to press on. And actually you're going faster, not slower. That's what the Lord began to show me. He said, you're going faster, not slower. He said, wow. Well, okay, brother, if you say so. No, I don't say so, but He does. He says, when I pray in an unknown tongue, and my spirit prayeth, my understanding is unfruitful. Howbeit, when we speak in that tongue, what are we doing? 1 Corinthians 14:2, we're speaking those mysteries to God. It's not a mystery to Him, it's a mystery to us. What mystery? The mystery of everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you to the world. Everything. The entire purpose of God for Sister Diane over here is beginning to be prayed out when she lifts her tongues up to the Lord. She says, the Holy Ghost will help me pray. And I believe it today. I'm going to pray, Lord. I don't care what my body tells me. I don't care what my mind says. I believe God. And I know He's doing work on the inside of me. And I know there's changes being taken place. And He's going to bring me to complete victory. Because sometimes, you see, we didn't even realize it. That's something on the inside of me that obviously it was a stronghold or some kind of a hindrance that I did not realize was there. And God said, that's got to come out before I move you forward. He said, well, why did it take so long? I don't really know. Maybe I wasn't given enough time to Him. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it was His, you know, we said, well, perfect timing. Well, yeah, in the sense that I had to be in a place where I could receive it, where I was able to accept it. He didn't go against my will. You know, what about the other day when I didn't pray? Maybe He wanted to tell me the day before, but He couldn't because I decided I needed to go to the movie. It was more important to me in my mind. Yeah, maybe I prayed a little bit, but I didn't press into that place like He asked. And I just, you know, I'm just throwing out a few things. See? When He calls, it's important. He was talking to me about the prayer the other day. And I say the other day, a while back, I was praying and I met the person. We talk a lot of times about emptying a hospital or going out doing that. And the Lord began to speak to me. He said, son, He said, I got a question for you. I'm just praying in tongues. I'm minding my own business. But the Holy Spirit's my friend. See, He wants to help me. He wants to guide me. He wants to teach me. Okay? But am I going to spend a little time with Him? Amen. I mean, when you spend time with Him, He teaches you. I know you guys know a lot of these things. I'm trying to get it some practical. He wants me to talk about my friend. The Holy Spirit. He's my friend. He's my helper. He's my guide. Ah, my intercessor. Yeah, He'll pray for me. when I don't know how to pray, when I don't know what to pray, when I don't know where I am, when I don't know the plan of God, when I'm not sure. I can flip on that. Well, see, he's smarter than me. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm a little bit slow. You know? He knows how to get it across to you, okay? If he got it across to me, trust me. He knows how to get it across to you. You know, because of the prayers of the early church, he got across to Saul, didn't he? Became Paul. Became one of the great apostles of the faith. That call was on his life. But he needed an intercessor. You know, and Stephen, you know, they laid his coats. He says, hey, lay not that sin to the charge, Lord. They prayed a lot for Paul. It even says in the Bible, after he got saved, there was rest in the church. Can you imagine that? He was pretty vicious. He said, I did it ignorantly. I thought it was the right thing to do, but I found out Jesus is the Savior. He appeared to me, came. Why? Because somebody prayed. It's not just Paul. Stephen was willing to give his life and lay it down. He said, Lord, don't hold that sin against him. Don't hold that against him. It's all right. I forgive him. Can you imagine that? Imagine that. He had no idea. You know, but he was willing to do what Jesus had said. Forgive. Release. He wasn't going to hold it against him. He wasn't going to allow it to be held against anybody. Lord, I'm going to give you authority in the earth. Release them. I forgive them. I hold them blameless for what they did to me. See, when somebody takes something from me, I always figure, well, Lord, I got authority to pray for them now. You go after them, Lord. I thank you that you can redo it. Not only that, I don't have anything that belongs to me. I'm just a steward. Amen. Didn't really belong to me in the beginning. From the beginning, I used to get upset about it. Not that I like people to steal stuff that belongs to me. I'm not saying that. But when I release them, I release the Father, the Holy Spirit, the angels of the Lord Jesus, to cause divine appointments to come across in their path for the right labor, and they get born again, they find God. I'm going to see that person in heaven. What is my heart? Is my heart to get vengeance? The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And that's a hard thing sometimes. You know, sometimes it's a hard thing to kiss, you know, revenge goodbye. Amen. Sometimes it's not easy. You know, we know Joseph had to do it, didn't he, in the Bible? Remember Joseph? All his brothers threw him in the pit. Right? Poor Joseph. All he did was tell the dream that God gave him. God gave you this dream. Could you imagine if anybody had anything to be upset about, it was him. I mean, they told his father they killed him. Their own father, they said, we killed him, you know, get his coat, and they put blood on it, you know, from some animal, and tell their father a lie, and left him in the pit, and sold him because of one brother. The rest of them all, I mean, they were sure, I'm sure they were going to kill him. They were that angry with him. Said, no, we're not going to bend down before you. Man, you're just a dreamer. You're a young punk. What'd you come out here for? I'm going to kill you. I mean, that's pretty serious. That's a rough family. Me and my brother fought a little bit, but he never killed, you know. You know, we didn't kill each other, you know. I know some people that have to throw knives at each other, but my brother and I, you know, I mean, we, you know, when it come down to it, you know, somebody's against him, we're both against you, you know. You might fight with a sibling, but, you know, don't touch us otherwise, you know. So, you know, if anybody had the right to complain, it was him. You know, and then he gets put down, you know, he's taken down to Egypt, and he says, yes. But guys, you know, when his brother finally, you know, when it's finally all over, God exalts him to the place, you know, up next to the king, and he's the second in command of Egypt. Everything's going great. Glory to God, I've come into this, Lord. You know, this is great. I'm the second in command in Egypt. And what happened? He continued to be righteous. He didn't stop being righteous. The king's wife wanted Joseph. He's a beautiful young man, apparently. You know, she says, hey, come with me. Come lie with me. You know, no, he said, I'm not going to do this thing against God. Made a choice. I'm not going to give my body to somebody because God is going to be honored in my life. I'm going to give glory to God in my body. I'm not going to let this temple that we have now, right? We're the temple of God. I'm not going to let it be defiled or be destroyed by something so foolish. You know, I mean, that's why God says, flee youthful lusts. Anybody ever had a youthful lust in your life? You know? All of us have. That's why we needed Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But we're to flee those. It doesn't mean it's wrong to be tempted. You know, everybody's tempted, but we don't have to give in to temptation because we were free. He made us new. And so Joseph didn't give in to the temptation. He didn't even have a born again spirit. He just said, I'm not going to sin against God. Boom. Just like that, the queen, of course, tells her husband, oh, Joseph tried to lie with me. He's tried to rape me. He's, you know, and so they put him in prison, and maybe her husband may already knew, you know, not be true, but you know, what are you going to do? He's just a, you know, so he puts Joseph in prison. Not, oh, well, what happened? How long was he in prison? Just a day or two, 3 days, a week, a month? Oh, maybe a year. Maybe a couple, 2 years, maybe, right? Three? Five? 10? 13 years, amen? 13 years. You know, has a few dreams in there, but he didn't let it bother him, did he? Yeah, he had some dreams in the prison, because they are interpreted the dreams, I should say. Sorry, he didn't have them, but the others that had them interpreted the dreams for him, but he didn't let that stop him. You know, in the midst of his seemingly problem, God continued to mold Joseph. And sometime in the midst of our problem, God molds us. Not that he brought the problem, but sometimes life happens. It's happened to me. It's happened to others. But don't let that stop you. Let that take you. You know, like I know that sometimes we don't want to waste our trial. Amen. Because sometimes trials of life come. It came to Joseph. But he didn't waste his trial. He let God exalt him in the midst of it. In the midst of it. He's in the prison. The guard sees something in Joseph and brings him up. You know, he's over the prison, you know, as far as the prisoners go, at least, you know. I don't know how far that was, but, you know, maybe he was a what they call a trustee, you know. He's got the key. He can let people in and out because they could trust him. You know, that's what a trustee is, somebody you can trust. You know, can't trust him, you don't make him a trustee, amen. Get the key because he was trustworthy. Maybe the guard or the person over the prison heard about Joseph. Maybe he'd already knew that he was not guilty, you know. Or, you know, maybe you just liked him. God gave him favor. How many know God give you favor? Help you on your job. Amen. Anybody ever had a job? You know, I've been thinking about this because I got people that come to work all the time and I see them and they always like, oh, it's Wednesday. It's Thursday. Oh, praise God. It's Friday. They don't say praise God, but it's like, happy Friday. You know, they never come in. Oh, happy Monday. Oh, it's good. You know, oh, we got the week ahead. But let's not dread. You know? Let God lift our head above that. You know? Lift your head. Lord, you gave this job to me. I know you give me favor. I mean, when's the last time you prayed for that boss you hate so much or dislike? You know? Oh, I don't really hate him. I just really dislike him. When's the last time you prayed for him? Think about it. You know, the Bible does say pray for all that are in authority over you, not just people in government, all people in authority over you. That means your boss. Amen. pray for your boss. Things will go, that what? That it may go well with you. He's one in authority. It'll go better for you. Ask God for favor. Psalm 512, I'll surround me with favors with a shield. I just pray that when I go to work, I pray it every day. Every day. Just get in the car. Oh, Lord, I thank you I got favor today. Everybody I come in contact with. Thank you I got favor in my job, Lord. I know they just like me, Lord. They don't know why. They just like me. Even if I make a mistake, Lord, they just love me. They like me, Lord. Everybody likes me. They might not like you, but they give you favor. That means special treatment. You can do things that other people can't do and still, you know, get away with it. not bad things. I didn't mean that. Not bad things. You know, but they really like you. Now don't do things that aren't favorable though. You know, like call in every other day. I knew one guy, you know, he had the job. I can't believe he worked there as long as he did. He worked there like 4 or 5 months. But I never saw him put in a full week ever in all those months. 3 days, you know, that was a good week. 2 days, he's calling in all the time. I'm like, what? How are they keeping you in this job? You know, 4 days, you know, I never saw him make 5 days, not once. And I don't know how he got this job. I'm like, man, this is a miracle that he's still working. You know, I think he worked at Walmart or something. I don't know how. I'm like, how is he keeping this job? You know, you're sure he's going to be fired today. You know, you got the rent money. Oh, no, I didn't work enough hours this week. I can't pay the rent. You know, yeah, I wonder why. You know, it was always something, you know, some kind of an excuse. But see, that was a stronghold in them. But how many know the Holy Spirit will help you if that's your problem? You know, if that was the problem, he'll help you overcome it. If you'll give him a little time, amen? You know, but we want to do things that are favorable, you know, like call if you can't be there, you know. You know, sometimes I'll call my boss. Maybe I'm not running really late, but I'm later than I usually am. I'll give him a call. Hey, I'm on the way, man. It'll be about 5 minutes. Okay, no problem. Okay, I figured you were. Thanks for calling. You know, it gives them a peace of mind. See, they like that. Wouldn't you like that? You're waiting for somebody to get here and, you know, and maybe they got to be there at 1:45, but, you know, it's like 1:25 and you don't see them. I hope they got up, you know, I hope they're coming, you know, and you're wondering, man, we only got 10 minutes here, buddy, and I hope you're coming. We got to fill this position if you don't come. So, you know, and if you give them a call, give them peace. That's called doing the right thing and gaining favor. You know, if you want to gain favor, you got to do things that are favorable. Amen. Be the best employee. Work hard. Don't steal. What do you mean don't steal? That means when you worked 39 hours this week, don't put down 40.
Come on.
Amen. You know, don't look at me in that tone of voice, you know. So why would you say that? Because I've seen people do it. You know, I had a guy over me that does a schedule. He tried to put up a few more time for me. I said, no, don't worry about it. I said, no, it's not the time I finish. I finished right here this other time. I'm not going to steal from the company. He said, well, why are you so adamant? Because I'm not supposed to be stealing. God said, steal no more. And don't live off other people. Amen. I'm not saying if you're able to work, you know, work. I'm not talking about if you can't work. That's a totally different thing. Some people can't work. They're not able to work. Maybe they got a, you know, their mind's blown or their body can't work. That's different. You know, but if you are living off other people, you know, and they're your source. See, you got some people that'll say, oh, well, can I stay here? And they'll stay with that friend for a while. Then they'll go over and stay here for 2 weeks. You know, hey, I don't know where I'm staying. I don't want to be homeless. Can I come over? No, you can't come over. You know, you know, but they're doing that, you know, and they say, oh, I love Jesus. I love God and all those things. But really, they're stealing. They're taking advantage of people. That's part of what he said. Steal no more, what? But labor, working with your hands that you may have to give. and to live too, you know. Anyway, I don't know why I got off on that, but it's true anyhow. Amen. Do things that are favorable, like Joseph. He did things that were favorable, not just when people are watching. I don't think anybody was really, you know, there was nobody to impress in the prison. Okay? Anybody ever seen those people, you know? The boss always thinks they're doing all this work and really it's you. You know, as soon as the boss walks out, they're all taking a break and you're finishing all the work, you know. Where are they at? They're taking a smoke break or they're smoking another joint or whatever they're doing, you know, that they're not supposed to be doing. On their phone, you know, don't stay on your phone when you're supposed to be working. You know, we see it all over the place. But if the boss said, don't use your phone during work time, then don't. Amen? If you can't submit to those that you do see, how are we going to submit to God? He loves us. You know, we talked about last night about following that witness on the inside, that inner man, that spirit man that's alive to God, that knows Him, the one that He moved in with, the one that He's helping to overcome all areas of our life. Hallelujah. But Joseph finally was come to the place where he was put back in his position. Amen. God used all of that time and he let God use it when it didn't look like he's going to ever have a position. It doesn't look like he's going to fulfill what God called him to do. I'm stuck in this dungeon of a prison. Can anybody help me? So he interprets the dream for the guy and then he forgets him. Boy, whoo, boy, I bet that was a joyous day for him, you know. It's been, you know, oh, he forgot him. What? A couple of years later, here they come. You know, I remember this guy. I think he remembered him all along, but maybe he was afraid to say so. You know, maybe, you know, who knows why? Maybe there was a reason, you know. But sometimes we think maybe God's forgotten me. Maybe it's over. Maybe, you know, it's just not going to happen for me. But it will. If we'll keep pressing in and we'll be faithful, amen, to the things that God's called us to do, and we'll be righteous, live righteously. You know, you received the Holy Spirit, didn't we? We ought to be holy, amen? Amen. He said we're created in righteousness and true holiness because God's holy. That makes you and I holy. Separated to God. But see, our gift of holiness to God. See, holiness is our gift to Him. Our life, you know, living before Him because I choose. And when nobody else is watching, we learn that as a child, right? When nobody else sees you, God sees you. I mean, some did, you know. I mean, when nobody else sees you, God still sees. I remember, You know, I made some decisions when I was 12 years old. I'm not going to do drugs. My brother's friend wanted to take me out with him and show me how terrible drugs were so I would never use them. I didn't want to use drugs. I was just born again, just been saved. I got saved when I was 11 years old. Well, really, I think I was saved before that, but when I really understood that I was born again, I was 11 years old, so I count that as when I got saved. I remember when I was 9 years old, and I was out in the field, and I was walking in the field, and I was just thinking. They told me in Sunday school class that God knows what I'll say before I say it. So why doesn't He stop me from saying that? Because my mother told me if I say that word again, she's going to wash my mouth out with soap. And I don't like it. So why doesn't God stop me from saying that? I know that's an interesting thought, but it reminds me of Romans chapter 7, where Paul said, I heard the law. The law is good. It told me not to do that. I didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway because of the sin that was in me, the nature of sin. And there was a nature of sin on the inside of me. And I remember that. Now, I don't remember exactly when I confessed the Lord, the exact day. But I do remember the day, or not the exact day, but the time when I understood it. I remember I was in Mrs. Visser's class on a Wednesday night, and she shared the verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I say, hey, I've been made new. Somehow the understanding, I'm not saying the perfect understanding that verse came, but the understanding that I was new, something changed in me. God, I'm born again. I've been saved. Yes, I'm really saved. He said, well, did you ever go to the altar? I don't remember ever going to the altar to get saved, ever. I don't remember going down to the front. Matter of fact, I was at school one day, and this other girl went to a church where they went to the altar a lot. She says, well, when's the last time you've been to the altar? I said, I don't know. You know, and she looked at me like there's something wrong with me. Well, you know, you need to go to the altar, you know. And I never felt I needed to go to the altar. I know I'm saved. You know, God saved me. You know, why do I need to go to the altar? Maybe to surrender, or I might go to pray for somebody, you know. I did that a few times and things like that, or go up and pray for somebody. Because I started liking to help other people too, because that's the nature in you. Amen. You want to help somebody else find Jesus, don't you? You know, or you see them go down, hey, I want to pray for them. I want to pray with them. Huh? I want to try to help them, even though I didn't know how to. Something on the inside of me was already drawing me. But anyway, sometimes when we make those decisions, it doesn't mean if you did make those decisions, you can't change. God's forgiven you. And when we come to the cross, we're all equal. Amen? We all get the same nature. We all get the same things. God, our first birth is not equal. Some are bigger, some are stronger, some are great athletes. Maybe they got a great gift in music. You know, it's not all equal. So, I don't know if I got a gift, you know. You know, I mean, that's the enemy, amen? You got something in there. And God knows what it is. And He knows your place. But, I mean, think about this. What if God just wanted you to work at a job one day for the next 30 years? So that one person found Jesus. Think about it. And He just wanted you to be somebody that prayed for other people and worked. There's one soul that He is after, and He needed you. And you decided, I hate that job. I don't like it, Lord. I'm just done. That's why it's so important to listen to that nature on the inside. I'm not saying He wouldn't move you. He might release you. How many know sometimes in the military, you know, or in an army, sometimes you get orders to move, you know, He lets you go to a different rank, you know. But if not, stay put. Stay where you are. Begin to bloom there. Ask God. I remember on my job, I had this paper route, and there's this one guy that I was asking the Lord. I said, how can I reach you? What can I do? I've got these newspapers, Lord, and I bring them in every day, and I would see him. He was the guard at the desk, and I'm bringing my papers up to the people. It was in the Jewish Retirement Center. There was another lady I ended up getting a witness to there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We like to talk about Jesus, you know, when we can, but we want to get an open door. Sometimes that takes a little time, a little friendship, a little saying hello, you know. People aren't so much, hey, once you get, you want to get saved, you're born again? No, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, and they pray with you. Oh, I led somebody to Jesus. They didn't have enough information to even really get born again, see? They had no idea. No, that they didn't. They weren't praying to receive Jesus. They were praying for you to go away. I mean, they just prayed the prayer. I'm not saying that's totally useless. Maybe that prayer will get them saved later, you know, when they're really in trouble and they really do call out. What was that prayer? Oh, yeah, help me, Jesus, come in my life. Oh, you know, boom, they die, you know. I mean, I'm not saying it's totally useless. But if we don't do it with the right heart and the right motive, you know, and with joy, you know. Brother, if you get saved, you can be happy as me. Would you like to pray and receive Jesus? Well, whatever you're afflicted with, I don't want it sight unseen, you know. But if we have joy, in our job, in the midst of what we're doing, and we say, Lord, teach me to have joy and importance in every little thing I do. I'm still learning to wear every part, whatever I'm doing. If I'm doing the dishes, Lord, I want to do them unto you. Everything. Where our mind is stayed on him. I don't know if you ever read that book. There's a book out. It's called Brother... What's his last? Brother Lawrence. Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, you read the book. Or maybe you heard of it. Learned a little bit of it. But he was, even though he was a Catholic man, he was trying to do everything unto the Lord. He was a monk. And he said it took him about 4 or 5 years. He was just trying to think unto the Lord, you know, when he picked up his job, you know, he picked up the grounds, the papers off the ground unto the Lord. Serving all the people unto the Lord. And this presence of God would begin to come upon him. And they said he would get into there and he would just sit in the auditorium like this. He would just sit. People would come in and sit down. The presence of God would be so strong on him. They would be helped. Nobody said anything to him. Nobody did anything. But they received strength and help. Now, this was years ago. And I'm not, you know, bragging, you know. Well, you had all the time in the world. Not any more than you or I. There's 24 hours in every day. Yeah, but he didn't have all this hustle and bustle around me. Well, what's the difference? And how do you know? He was the one that was doing the dishes. He's the one that's serving the people. He's the last one to have a meal and learn to do it unto the Lord and to be less that he might be more, that God might be more. You know, John said this, I must decrease that he may increase. Amen. Hallelujah. I must decrease, not the real me on the inside, but my natural self, my own will. One of the hardest things sometimes to give over to God is our own will. Because we want to do our own thing. We want to fix it. We want to find a way. We want to be, you know, and he wants us to be a part. He wants to walk with us. You know, and I believe that, you know, sometimes there are some things. Lord, is it okay if we do it this way? You know, it's your idea. But he says, oh, if you want to do it that way, it's okay. Yeah, it's good with me. Let's do it that way. That seems right. He wants your input. He does. You know, he said, Lord, how do you want to do it? Just like this. Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, we want those specific things and we want to do it his way, but how many times, you know, hey, if a child's supposed to clean their room, do you care how they clean their room? You know, no, I just want it clean, you know, and I want it clean today, you know, like my mother would say, get it clean and get it today, you know, before the end of the day now, you know. Hallelujah. But we, in our own natural selves, decrease that what he may increase. And sometimes we want to see things happening on the outside. But how do we get it out there? How am I going to get? Hey, God's plan's in me. The Holy Spirit's in me, but I need it out here. How am I going to get out there? I'm going to release it. Praying in other tongues, the very mind of God. I'm going to pray it out. I'm going to give God that authority. What God told me is this. He says, son, when you're praying in tongues, you're giving your life to me. He says, you're giving your life to me. Because this is what happened to me. I thought I would spend some time in prayer. And many people, we've done that, you know, and it's a good thing. I'm going to give some time in prayer to God. But see, my attitude was this. I want to put some time in with God, and then I'm going to go do my own thing, see? Do whatever I want to do, you know, go to the movie. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, you know, this is just something that he talked to me about. He says, now, son, I'm not interested. This is what he told me. He says, I'm praying. I'm just minding my own business. Now, we understood because last night we talked about, that new man on there, our spirit. God speaks to us through our spirit. Now, when I was praying in tongues, my spirit was active. So you could understand, hey, God could speak to you. You know, sometimes while I'm praying in tongues, God talks to me. You said, what? Yeah, sometimes. It's while I'm praying in tongues. I was just praying, minding my own business, and he started talking to me. He said, son, I'm not interested in your time. I'm like, what are you talking? What? He said, no, I'm not interested in your time. I don't want your time. I said, and then he said this. He says, I want your life. In other words, I don't want the time that you're spending praying in tongues only. I want your whole life. And then he began to tell me just what I said. When you're praying in tongues, you're giving your life to me. I said, oh, because he wants me to surrender everything to him. Not just the time I'm praying in tongues, but the time I'm at work, the time I'm driving my car. He wants me to be aware that he's with me. My God's in me. My God's for me. My God is with me. He said, I will be. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be with you. What? And in you. For a day or two. No, he didn't, did he? He said, forever. Forever. Hallelujah. That means anytime we get ready, he's ready. We can begin to spend time with him. With the helper. With the teacher. With the guide that lives right on the inside of us and is with us always. And it seems so easy. But sometimes our flesh wants to try to make it hard. Or maybe it's society. Or maybe it's the job. They called again. But see, I know a lot of people. Not a lot, but several people that had some pretty hard jobs to do. And they taught themselves to pray in the Holy Ghost while they were working quietly. Quietly. I said that quietly. I don't want you running around your job. I mean, everybody's going to get out of your way and they're probably coming with the straitjacket to take you away. Okay? To the funny farm. Okay? Where everybody's happy. You know? Except for you, because you really aren't funny, you know? So I was just, you know, and I'm not saying there's not, you know, you may have a difficult job, but there's sometimes you can find some time. You know, we could do that. I'm just fortunate, you know, I have a job I can pray a lot on, but I can't pray loud. I can't stand there and start praying in tongues, you know, and disturb everybody or, you know, people get uncomfortable, you know, you do those things or, you know, that's what God was talking about, I believe, you know, the unlearned come in. They don't know what you're doing. They think you're nuts. You're mad. You're crazy. There's something wrong with you. But if we all understand everybody, you know, if you're praying quietly under your breath, whatever I'm doing, whatever you're doing, can make it a habit. Now then, if you get other time, you know, you might spend some time in worship if you can, you know, but that takes a little more concentration, doesn't it? You got to use your mind and, you know, get your mind on him and try to, you know, stop it from going to solve the problem down the street, right? Or tomorrow's problem or last week, you know, or what I'm going to do about this, you know, every thought that comes and start working on, Lord, I love you. Ah, I love you, Jesus. Thought, you know, I take that thought. It may be every minute at first. But you get yourself, say, hey, I got an hour in, Lord. Hallelujah. What'd you feel? Nothing. Nothing. Did I worship him? Yes, you did. Right out of your spirit because you're born again unto him. Yeah, but I thought, you know, they said we're not in the spirit till he comes and we feel him like we did tonight, you know, when we worship enough, you know, we feel better because our flesh wants to feel something. I like feelings too, and God does too. He doesn't mind you having some feelings, but that's not what I'm going to depend on. I can't depend on feelings because guess what? Tomorrow I might feel wonderful and the next day I might feel terrible. What does that have anything to do with who God is? He is unchangeable. Amen? He's still the same. Not based on how I feel. How do you think he feels? He wants to be worshiped. Amen? He wants to be adored. But you know, if I'm driving my car to work, I said my prayer about being in favor. Sometimes I just have to turn my radio off because I'm not, you know, I don't want to listen to the news and get distracted, you know. Even if I got worship on, sometimes I shut it off because I'm trying to pray right now, you know. Or I pray with the worship on, it's fine. And sometimes I pray with the teaching tape on because my mind is not what's trying to get fruitful. It's my spirit being built up, amen. So my mind can be fruitful listening while my spirit's being built up. Two birds with one stone, I like that. I did that, you know. I used to put some worship on and pray, but then sometimes I get carried over and, you know, got to be careful. You know, I was afraid I'd pray too. No, not really. But, you know, it's not going to hurt you. It's going to help you. The Holy Spirit's with us. He wants to be our friend. He wants to change us from the inside out. Amen. He wants to take those areas in our life which are, you know, trying to block us from fulfilling the plan of God and get them axed out, get them washed away, and help us to walk an upright life, holiness in every area of our life, righteousness where we're not, you know, where we're not burdened down with anything. You say, well, I've done a lot of surrender in my life. I know, believe me, trust me, I understand. Jesus had done a lot of surrender in his life, didn't he? Yet he had to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and surrender one more time, Lord. One more time, Lord. He had already said it. He said, Lord, at his baptism there, he said, baptize me. John's like, baptize you? You should be baptizing me. You're the Messiah. No, baptize me to fulfill all righteousness because I've already made a decision. I'm going to be buried and be raised again. And God said, this is my son, hear him. And immediately he was led out to do miracles. Was he? No, he wasn't. It's okay. He was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And sometimes in our lives when God's saying, you're doing great, sometimes we enter into a wilderness. Anybody ever been in a wilderness? You know, or just, it's not good. It seems like I'm in the wilderness. I'm wandering around, Lord, you know. But the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Where he was fasting, seeking God, tempted in every way, yet without sin, overcame. Got real hungry. I bet it was real tempting to turn that rock into bread. Man. Whew. I know a lot of people, some people say, well, you know, if you fast long enough, you're not that hungry. But I found out if you keep fasting long enough, you get real hungry. It's been a rough year. That's all I'm saying. I've done some fasting, quite a bit of fasting, but I want to do more. But it was just really, I've had some real rough fasts lately. You know, I thought, gee, you know, you start a fast and invariably your best buddy calls. You know, the one you hadn't heard from for so long, you really like him, but that you hadn't heard from for a long time. Hey, man, I need to come by. Let's go get something to eat. I'm buying, man, steak dinner. You know? Okay. You know? Okay, we'll start tomorrow, God. You know? Tomorrow comes and they're having a Christmas party at work. Oh, tomorrow, God. Next thing you know, the week went by. Dang, it's January. I thought I was going to do some fasting last year. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but anyway, we're coming up on January, you know? That's the fasting time. If you don't know that, maybe you'll find out. We'll see. A lot of times when they do a little fasting in the prayer center, I wish it was more, you know, it's better to fast maybe in July when it's a little warmer, you know, because you get cold, you know. Sometimes when I fast, I get cold, you know. but anyway, hallelujah. But we must decrease. And in fasting, we're what? Enforcing the death that was put upon this body. Body's going to have to die one day. It's already, you know, it's got sin in it. You know, the body. It's going to die. It's going to fall off us. It has to. But we're going to live forever, amen. Hallelujah. Forever. With God. He's with us. But he doesn't want to leave us the same. He doesn't want us to change. And tonight he was encouraging us to press in. To continue. No matter what it looks like, when it doesn't look like it's gonna happen. I know one time I was working with Pastor Barber in the outreach in Tulsa. I thought, Lord, what is wrong with me? You know, I just couldn't seem to get going. You know, I remember he said, you need an attitude adjustment. I said, oh. not that he was mad at me. He just said, I need to change my attitude. My attitude was wrong. When I changed my attitude, everything changed. Sometimes we got to think about it. You know, what do I need? What do I need to change, Lord? I mean, I asked him, he answered me. Praise God, hallelujah, I heard you, Lord. You know, have you ever prayed, you know, what'd you get? Silence, you know. The silence is deafening, Lord. You know. But if you'll keep praying, if we don't quit, if we will press in, we're going to hear. We're going to know. We're going to find the place that we belong and where we fit in. For God's got a plan for each and every one. He didn't leave anybody out. Sometimes it may feel like we got left out. Anybody ever felt left out? Maybe all the kids at school were playing some game and way back when, you know, you were the last one to be chosen. They really didn't want me. You know? I don't know, you know. I'm just giving something like, you know, or maybe you're in some, you know, the way it is today, I'm telling you folks, it boggles my brain, you know. I mean, we had bullies in school too, and I'm not for bullying. I think we ought to stop all that, but you know, we took care of the bully, bless God. You know, we found some way to get him, you know. I remember my sister one time, we were on a bus, school bus. She took one of those metal lunch pails. She knocked that bully. Boy, she knocked him one. He never did bother her anymore. You know, it's, well, it shouldn't be allowed. Well, you know what? Sometimes people just need to realize, you know, don't do that. You know, don't touch them. Don't bother me. You got to stand up. We got to do that to the devil. Amen. Don't bother me. Stop it. Greater is he that's in me. You're not in me. Get out of here. Leave me alone. That's a lie. I'm not worthless. I'm a child of God. I've been born of his spirit. Glory to God. I've been born again. The greater one came in, set me free, and I can walk with him. I can hear his voice. I can follow him. I can be changed. I can change the world. Amen. I can make a difference. My life. My life. Hallelujah. Amen. How many want to spend a little bit more time with him? Amen. Maybe just say, Lord, I want to make a difference in this world and realize you can be a world changer. Maybe it's your, right now, maybe it's your world at work. What's wrong with them finding out you'll pray for people? You know? Pretty soon they find out, hey man, this guy prays. You know, somebody that's sick might come, hey, excuse me, would you pray for me? Yeah, but just a minute, I'm getting ready to pray for this guy, you know. No, that's not what it's about, amen. They just want you to pray for him, and you just lay your hand on him. Be healed. And God heals them. Maybe not right that second, but the next day they know it. Hey, when you prayed for me, I got healed. That's all you know. That's all they said. They said it quietly because they were embarrassed. They weren't ready yet to say anything else, but they got healed. Shh, don't tell them. They're saying, shh, don't tell anybody I got healed. You know, but what you didn't know is they talked about it. They told somebody else at the lunch table, you know, Terry prayed for me and I really got healed. I think he knows God. Pretty soon, dude, come on. I'm having a real problem, brother. I'm having a real problem. Would you pray for me? Please. I think my wife might leave me. Would you pray for me? He says, sure, I'll pray for you, brother. Terry comes to work the next day. He's just praying in tongues like he's supposed to. God begins to talk to him. He goes to the guy because God spoke to him. He says, you know, I mean, I'm not real good about all this, but did your wife throw you out last night? I just got this, you know, it seemed like, you know, maybe I was sensing that maybe God threw your wife out. You got a word of knowledge from God. You know, the guy closes the door. How'd you know that? Well, I was just praying on my way to work today. It just seemed like you came to my mind and seemed like that's what God said. Then God told me to tell you this. He said, you know, if you'll go home and humble yourself and tell your wife you apologize and you really want to change and you're going to get help, she'll forgive you and take you back. That's all it's going to take. So he goes home and he humbles himself. He says, honey, I'm really sorry. I'm going to get some help. I'm going to change. And she lets him come back. And he gets his help. And he receives the change. And a life was saved. I'm just giving a possible scenario. See, when you know God, you can know things. Because he knows everything. He knows everybody. And he knows what they need. He knows what happened. He knows how to fix it. Well, I sure wish he'd fix me. Who's that? He's working on it. You wish he would fix you? Spend a little time with him. And you don't have to wish. You can know. He's going to work it out. He's going to pray it out. It's going to be okay. No matter what it is. Whichever way it turns out, it'll be all right, Lord. I don't know how to pray, but I'm going to keep praying. Sometimes we face a situation. We don't know what else to do. Maybe you don't know what to do. But we keep praying. You're not going to stay that way. You're going to find out. Amen. He's going to get across to you one way or another. He'll find a way to get it to you. He is smarter than I am dumb. Amen. And I'm not dumb. I'm not. I've got him in me. I'm not going to say that anymore. Thank you. I don't like that. I'm not dumb. I'm not. I'm very smart. I've got God in me. Wisdom belongs with those that starts with the fear of the Lord, and I fear him. I believe in God. Bible says the fool doesn't believe in him. I'm no fool. I'm not dumb. I'm smart. I'm smart enough to turn on the switch of prayer. On the inside of me. Because I know. He's going to take me to complete victory. It may not be in one day. It might not be in a week. It might not be in that first year. It might not be in the fifth year. But maybe it's going to be in the 10th year. Maybe it's the 13th year. Like Joseph. But sooner or later. Glory to God. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to put that switch on. I'm going to keep on praying. And I'm going to see the victory. I'm going to fulfill the plan of God that he's got for me. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.